This episode is brought to you by LashBoss Summit. LashBoss Summit is 2 full days of education in Austin, Texas on April 26th and 27th. The lineup is incredible. There are so many talented and genuine people on stage, so you're going to walk away with a ton of lash artistry and business strategy after that weekend. Not only that, there is built-in networking opportunities so that you can make new friends and connections while you're here. Your ticket also includes breakfast and lunch on both days, and all of this could be under $500 if you use code LASHBOSSRADIO. LashBoss Summit is regarded as being incredibly impactful but not overwhelming in the sense of it was designed to reduce anxiety and just be very warm and welcoming and just deliver a ton of value. The lineup, agenda, and tickets can all be found on lashbosssummit.com. I'd really like to see you there. I promise you it will be more than worth it. Enjoy this episode, and I hope to see you in April.
Thank you so much, Shelby, for having me. We're so excited to be here. The Lash Supply is a very huge lash company right now. We're just growing, growing, and growing. And I'm just so excited to represent them and to be here and to kind of just give you guys some background on that and just, you know, discuss some things with you.
Yeah, of course. So you're a master lash artist. You're also an educator for them. And I did not know this until recently, but they actually have 18 locations. And is that just in the U.S.?
That is currently in the U.S. They're still working on opening more stores here in the U.S. So it's just 18 for now. Mm-hmm. So they are physical stores that you can actually walk into and get lash supplies. I know there's not that many around where you can actually just walk in and grab what you need. But yes, there's 18 and growing. And of course, they have online shipping as well. So it's so, so convenient for all lash artists.
Yeah, definitely. I think just the in-person shopping is more unique and more rare to see. So that's awesome. And you guys are planning on expanding to more states?
Yes, more states. So we're all over the place right now. Just to name a few, I believe we have a couple of locations here in Texas. We have San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, outer city in Houston, some stores there, Spring, Cypress. We also are in Florida, California, Pennsylvania. I mean, we're in a lot of different states here in the U.S.
So I wanted to kind of dive into just some lash artist topics, stuff that like we can really bring some value to whoever's listening today. And can we just start with hearing a little bit about your background as a lash artist before we hop in?
Yes, definitely. So I know the Lash Supply has only been around a couple of years, but we've grown so fast. And before I even knew about the Lash Supply, I was a lash artist that started back around 2010. I was trained with very little knowledge. I had to kind of figure a lot of things out. And I lashed on and off since then because it was just so difficult. Like I said, I didn't get a lot of good training. I think there's a lot more, there's a lot better training now than there was back then. They didn't give us a lot of information. And so it was just so difficult. I gave up a million times, started again, gave up, started again. And, eventually I made my way, into lashing full time. And then was able to meet the Lash Supply just by chance. We both say it was like a connection from God, maybe. I don't know. But I started working for them as well. Besides having a studio, and I was an educator actually at a beauty school. I was teaching the licensing course for the lash specialty course. Mm-hmm. We kind of met. I started working with them. We started doing in-person classes. We started a online class course. I mean, it's just, we just hit the ground running as soon as we met. And here I am now.
That's awesome. What was it about whenever you said you were like off and on in the beginning? What was it about lashes that like ended up clicking for you later?
So at the very beginning, I just needed to make extra money. Okay. I was in the position that a lot of lash artists are in. I know a lot of them start because they hear the money is good. And so that's how I started. I bought a house very young. I was 23 when I bought a house, and the office job I had paid the bills, but that was it. And I was just like, what am I going to do? So I invested in myself and I took a lash course. And when I started, I was just so amazed at the process and how it looked after, like how that person looked. And I was just like, oh my God, I love this. Like, I just really love it. But in that process of lashing and starting that career, it was scary to take that leap. It was really scary to say, okay, and now I'm going to quit working, even though I have a steady clientele. It took me a long time to take that leap. Then life happened. Things happened in my life that I was just like, oh my God, I don't want to, but I'm going to take a step back. And so that's when a lot of times I had to stop and go and stop and go. And I know that a lot of lash artists go through that. And with the Lash Apply, we have a podcast as well. And we talk a lot about, you know, about the struggle, because I know that any lash artist can tell you that they went through a roadblock eventually. And once they got over that, you know, roadblock, that's when everything started falling into place. So it was a rough road.
Yeah, I can imagine. I feel like the same thing here. A lot of times I'll ask what someone's favorite failure was, like something that they felt like was a failure in their career and ended up being a good thing. Because I think that is so important for listeners to hear themselves in these conversations and just get value from listening to these stories and not just hear like how great everything is all the time.
Yeah.
And just, it's always been this way. And that's not the case. It usually takes so much effort and so much challenge and struggle to see success sometimes. So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yes, absolutely. I think that a lot of lash artists need to hear the struggle, because they need to feel like they can relate. They think they're alone, because I know I felt that way back when I started. There weren't a lot of lash artists that I can lean on and say, hey, how do I? Or there weren't a lot of YouTube videos that I could watch. I kind of had to fail to learn. And so I feel like that's what makes me a great educator today, is all the failures. It's not that, you know, I'm the best just because I'm the best. I feel like I failed so much that I learned from my mistakes. And now I can help you not, you know, go through the same things I did.
Exactly. So what are some pieces of advice that you would tell your younger self as a lash artist starting out, especially artistry-wise? And then do you have any business advice for somebody who's just beginning to think, okay, I could actually start making this a full-time thing instead of, you know, balancing another job with this new thing?
Yes, absolutely. Your first question was, what would I tell my younger self? Like, oh my God, like there was so many mistakes that I made. I wish I would have done a little more research when I took a class, because that was my number one failure, is taking a class by someone who just wanted to get paid, not someone who wanted to help me grow. Even when I was struggling and I reached out, I remember this particular person was like, well, then take a refresher. Like there was no, let me help you. Oh yeah, do it like this or do this. It was just like, oh, well, you need to take a refresher. And I'm just like, oh my God, I paid you a lot of money, you know? So definitely the younger me, I would have been like, girl, do your research. Take a class with someone that's, you know, reputable, not just wanting to take your money. And don't give up. Don't give up, because you're going to get there. Also, not listening to that negativity from people, because in your head, you have this big dream when you're really young and nobody else can see the end of that dream but you. Like, you're the only one who can see that vision. And I know I had a lot of people when I was younger tell me, like, you're going to do what? That doesn't make any money. You're never going to get rich off of that. Like, that's not going to be good. And I was just like, maybe I shouldn't, you know? And so younger me was very, listened way too much to what other people had to say. And I wish I would have just stayed focused, because a lot of the times when I did stop and start, it wasn't just because life hit me. It was because I had people in my ear just telling me, like, why are you doing that? Like, you only have 2 or 3 clients. Like, yeah, but, you know, I'm trying to grow. Like, this is how I'm. No, well, you're like, you're failing. It just felt like such a failure to hear people tell me that I was failing, when in reality, I look back and I was actually growing, mm-hmm. you know? And so I would definitely tell my younger self, you know, do research, keep going, and not listening to the negativity around you, no matter how close that negativity is to you. So I know a lot of people need to hear that, especially when they start as well, not just when they're young.
Mm-hmm. That really reminded me of a story, where it was similar. It was like somebody asked, I told them that I was wanting to open a salon, and they were like, well, what all has to happen for you to do that? And I was like, well, first I have to write a business plan, and then I have to get like a loan, and then I have to do this, this, and this. And like, I just naming all the things. And I was fully ready to take on that challenge and climb that mountain. But they were like, yeah, so a lot of things, and like just kind of laughed it off. And I was like, gosh. Yeah, it is a lot, but I want to do it. And then I did. So sometimes exactly. People don't see it the same way as no. You said, and that's okay. It sometimes is coming out of whatever reasons they have. And some people are trying to look out for you, and some people just don't have that same vision. So it is what it is. You're not doing that for other people. You're doing it for yourself. So you got to always tell yourself that.
Exactly. And isn't that horrible when you have that vision and you're so motivated, you know, in your case, you wanted to open that salon and you knew what steps to take already. But they just shut that dream down. Like, it's nothing, you mm-hmm. know, and you're like, no, it's something.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, like, I think about it and I'm like, man, I wish I would have seen this in my vision. Like, I didn't even see it this far. I just wanted to grow. I just wanted to get better. I didn't know that I was going to own a salon either, you know? And so I feel like, man, I wonder what those people are saying now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. They're probably like, yeah, I always knew you could do it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, some of those people come around and ask me to do a lash set for them.
Mm-hmm. But you know, what's wild is I feel like this is like a really common thing that people struggle with, is like, especially in the beginning, they have people in their life that are kind of in their head and in their ear. And when you know something is important to you or is going to be part of your journey, even if it's hard, it's very hard to like discern like what voices to listen to or what parts to take from those conversations, because you want people in your life to be gung-ho and be so excited for you. But sometimes, whether that's like they're just looking out for you or they just don't see it, it is interesting.
Yeah, I think that sometimes people are so afraid that we're breaking generational curses, you know, because a lot of us, especially in my family, my background, they've always worked for someone. They've always been tied down to a 9-to-5. And you saying that you want to break out of that is so like not the norm for them, that they're so afraid for you. And they don't realize that you have what it takes. Because they've never seen it done. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do it. They couldn't break out of that. So I think I understand what you say about how sometimes they're looking out for you. But I think that we need to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we need to stop saying, well, it's never been done here. So
yeah, but know, the funny thing is that like in the case of like a parent or grandparent, it's like you gave me these tools, whether you think so or not. Like I am this way because I'm your daughter. I'm your son if you're a guy. But that's what's interesting about it. So So y'all's podcast, you guys talk a lot about empowerment, kind of just like things like this where we're trying to encourage someone or show them that they're not alone. How long have y'all had the podcast and how is that going so far?
So the podcast is about 2.5 years strong.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, we have about 50,000 subscribers.
Wow.
We have so many views. It's amazing. It's really amazing. We invite a lot of lash artists, young, you know, been in the industry, has been just, you know, in the industry 6 months, but very successful. Like we just bring all types of lash artists into the onto the podcast because we feel like people need to hear and relate. Because I know that, you know, I said I quit so many times and came back and quit and came back and quit and came back. And it was because I didn't have any motivation. I didn't have a podcast like yours or like ours that, you know, gave me a little bit of motivation, that gave me a little bit of more knowledge, that, you know, expanded my mind. And I think, you know, your podcast is as well as ours, it just empowers you to keep going. Like you hear so many people that are so successful. And it's like, oh my God, she has been there too. You know what I mean? It's not just me. I'm not just the only one going through this. And people go through so many things every single day that, you know, we want those backstories. We want to know where they started and how they got where they are now. Because it can motivate someone and it can probably prevent someone from quitting completely. Because I tell, you know, my students, whether it's in the licensing course or in a certification course, there's so many of you that are taking this class, but half of you will stop because someone's going to tell you to stop. Someone's going to tell you to go a different direction, or because you just lose motivation because you're not getting customers in 1 week. You know what I mean? And you need to continue to fight and you need to continue to work hard. Those days when you don't have customers, you need to get up just like if you were working a 9-to-5. You're making somebody else rich. Why not make yourself rich? You know what I mean? And so I just, you know, in the podcast, we just, you know, we try to interview just everybody and anybody that has a good story for us. Like I said, we have some lash artists that just started and they're making 6 figures. You know, it's like, I want to know too. I want to know what's going on there. And then we have some seasoned lash artists. Mo from Lash Bash, she was on our show recently and she had so much to say. You know, she didn't even know how to lash. And she was in a salon for years, you know, like, and it was just something that she was like, So, you know, I think those are interesting stories for people to hear and to relate to and just kind of give them motivation, because like I wish I had that long time ago.
Well, the industry used to be interesting. We would see a lot of they call, like, you know, it's called gatekeeping, where you couldn't share what you were using or what classes you took or anything. It was very different. And I think that people nowadays, it's not so much of that, because we do see like a lot of free education and just like podcasts and this and that. I think their struggles might be just different. Maybe it's that now social media is so huge that they feel like, oh, because I don't have this many followers, I'm not doing enough. Or, oh, I just got into lashes, but now I need to be thinking about selling digital products or becoming a trainer or owning a salon, and I'm not enough just doing this. So I think like both seasons of, or I guess both eras of our industry, the beginning and now, they're hard for different reasons.
Yes, absolutely. I think that being a lash artist now, the struggles are very different. I struggled with social media for a long time. And still being a full-time lash artist, sometimes I still struggle with it, you know, even though I have like three different pages, it's so hard for me to post. And I don't worry too much about my followers because I just feel like that's something I didn't have to do before. And where I am now, that doesn't really affect me so much as new lash artists. New lash artists, everyone's on social media. Everybody's on their phone. Everybody's texting. Everybody's just like on a phone doing something. And before we talk to people, you know what I mean? We used to talk to people. And so face-to-face interaction was our, you know, social media. And so we did a lot of referral-based networking, you know, we did a lot of referral-based networking, and now your networking is just like on the web, like,
yeah, and
everywhere.
And like back whenever I started, which was like 2011, technically, I didn't go full-time until 2013. So,
yeah.
But around that time, I remember it was just, you could just post something. Like, it was everyone posted bad lighting and like filtered photos, and we weren't worried about like what our feed looked like to people. And it's just funny. And now it's like you have to have a full on production, and it's got to look a certain way to capture people's attention and stand out.
Absolutely.
So it's different and in that way.
Yes. We also bring in lash artists that are really good at social media. I know we brought in T the Brand one time, and she was just like letting us have it on, you know, about Instagram and posting. And we were like, oh my God, you're so amazing. Like, there's just people that are really good at it. And I know I tell people all the time, I'm like, try to post something. Try to post something. Anything on your story.
Stories.
On a post. Yep. Yeah. Try to post something. And when I don't have time to post an actual, you know, post or reel, I post a story because it's so much easier for me to do that. And I tell them, if you're not posting, people are not remembering about you. You know? So for our new lash techs, they're like, well, I'm just not getting any clients. And I'm like, how often are you on social media?
Yeah. And social media isn't the only way you can get clients too. You could try and collaborate with other businesses that have similar clientele to what you're wanting. Or just, I feel like I started getting more clients when I was inserting myself into other communities or situations, I guess, because then I'd get their friends and I'd get these type of people. So it's not just social media. Sometimes someone could be fully booked and not have like a big presence on social media, but it definitely helps. It's like a, it's a free and easy way to get eyes on what you're doing. But do you have any advice for somebody that maybe is struggling with social media right now and wants to look at other ways to get their clientele up?
They need to talk to people. We talk to people all the time and we interact with people all the time. I don't know how many times I've gone shopping, grocery stores, the mall, just, you know, stores in general, and someone starts talking to me out of nowhere. That's your opportunity, you know, and a lot of people don't take that opportunity. And, you know, sometimes if I'm wearing lash extensions and someone out at a store or anywhere that I go to is like, hey, I really like your lashes. And I'm like, really? Thank you so much. Oh, by the way, I did lashes. And they're like, you do? And so those are good opportunities. There's people at the grocery store that turn around and talk to me sometimes. And they're like, oh, this line's taking so long. And I'm like, I'm going to sell it right now. So there's so many ways that you can interact and talk to people about your business without being pushy, because people want to talk to you anyway.
I think also like considering a referral push or program, or just like a big drive, if you will. Like if you have a few clients that you really enjoy and you want more people like them, is there a way you can entice that client to go talk to their friends? I personally used to give a discount if somebody checked in or posted a selfie at my business and they showed it to me on their phone, and then I'd be like, okay, cool, it's like 5% off today. Stuff like that I used to do all the time. And then it's just, you're getting somebody to share the name of your business and what you do.
Exactly.
Where they may not have done that without the little enticement, even if it's only 5%, you know?
Exactly. I did that at the beginning too, when social media wasn't a big thing. The client would look in the mirror and be like, oh my God, I love my lashes. And I'm like, thank you so much. And that was my opportunity to say, if you have any friends or family that would love to get their lashes done, let me know. I'll give you $10 off your next fill. And they're like, oh my God. And so then here I go, 2-3 messages. Hey, so-and-so sent me. Hey, so-and-so sent me. And I'm like, dang, girl.
Yes, it's a great idea. And also, I remember something we did is we would do like a free fill giveaway basically every month.
Yeah.
We would pick it out of people that posted a selfie and tagged us. So every month we would look at like our tagged selfies and we would pick a winner from that. And yeah, it was such a good, easy way to get people to post. And that's something that still could be relevant yes. today. Like having people post selfies is still done, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I do that once in a while. And I did that in the past where I just gave someone an absolutely free set. It was kind of like, a contest, like tag a few friends that are not on my page. Now you have more eyes viewing your business and to enter to win a free set.
Yeah.
You know, and so people would tag all their friends. Everybody has a different circle of friends. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not they have the same circle. Everybody has a different circle of friends. They're going to tag a bunch of different people. And now you have more eyes on your page. And yeah, maybe you're short, you know, $100, $200 on a set. But that's like an ad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. That's like an ad. So, I think anything that you can do that way will bring more eyes.
Yes. We business. Did this with like a collabed business post. Before we could actually literally collaborate on Instagram, we just did a combined, like each of us posted this. It was a photographer and a makeup and hair studio. So 3 different business total. We had the photographer that was going to offer like free headshots or like a mini session of whatever they wanted. We had a hair and makeup team that was going to do their hair and makeup. And then we had us that was going to do the lashes. And so we all 3 posted at the same time and they could enter on any of our pages, but they had to follow all of us. And we did stuff like that. I think I've done that a couple times, but looking outside of the box, thinking like when you think of, okay, here's the problem. I need more clients. Like start thinking about solutions and not, oh, like I just don't have any clients. It's don't think like that for too long. Just start thinking of ideas, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, that's what I tell a lot of my students. I'm like, okay, on those days when there's downtime, when you don't have a lot of clients, there's no room to cry about how you have no clients. This is a day where you need to find out how you're going to bring in clients for the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. And so trying to find different strategies to bring those clients in, like that's a big deal. If you're just sitting there waiting for clients to come in the door like Target or Walmart, like you're going to be sitting there forever.
Exactly. Also, bringing in free models during your downtime. Some of those people, not all of them, are going to continue to book fills with you. So there you go.
Absolutely.
And then some of those people, if the requirement to get it for free is that they also have to write a review or post for you, that's also
or tag you.
Yes. Yeah. It's something that is still of value. So I used to do that all the time. I would fill my entire books. When I first started renting somewhere, I literally had 5 clients. And the rest of my clients, I just was like, I need to build my portfolio. Please come in for a set. And I just had so many reviews, so many posts, and it just really blew up from there.
And I don't understand sometimes new lash artists that don't want to do free work. I'm like, that free work is going to get you so many clients. That client that you just did that free set on could become your client as well.
I think it's the messaging in our industry sometimes. I think sometimes they're being told like, don't do that. Because it's worth more than that. But I disagree. I think that doing free models is a good idea, as long as you're getting something from it.
Exactly. And you are. I absolutely agree with you 100%. You are getting something from it. I tell, you know, the girls all the time, you know, lash artists all the time, don't be afraid to do free sets. Because you know what? Now you have a lot of content. You have a lot of pictures. take pictures from a lot of different angles, because when you're not busy, you can repost some of those pictures that, you know, you cropped or you know, whatever you did to them, and they look like a whole different person, mm-hmm. you know? So it makes you look like you're still busy.
Yeah.
Take a bunch of pictures, have them tag you. Everybody that comes in, again, has a different set of followers and friends. If you say, hey, I really want to showcase this style that nobody asked me for. You know, I've done that before in the past. Nobody would come to me for classics. You know, everybody wanted light volume from me. And I'm just like, I know how to do more than that. You know what I mean? And so if I wanted to showcase something that I knew how to do, but I didn't have a lot of clientele for, I would ask someone, hey, do you want to be my model? Like, you're going to be here at least 2 hours, maybe three, because I'm going to take a lot of pictures. I'm going to take my time. Like, I'm going to do everything to bring in clients, you know? So they would be like, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, only thing you have to do is tag me in 2 to 3 pictures. And they're like, okay, yeah, done. And then they love their lashes and they're my client now. Mm-hmm. And then 2 to 3 people from their, I don't know, 500-600 friends contact me, and you did a free set, but now you have more clientele.
Exactly.
You know, so don't be afraid to start asking for, you know, for models. Yeah, you want to value yourself, but right now you need to understand you're a struggling lash artist. You want to have clientele. You want to build your clientele base. And you starting off right away, charging $200-$400 for sets, it's not realistic if you're still needing more practice.
Right.
And you getting out of school right away. I have a lot of girls that are amazing. But they still take a little longer than most lash techs. You know, they take maybe 3-4 hours. And I'm like, after 2, they're getting a little fidgety and customers want to go, you know, be honest about it. Tell them, hey, I'm going to take 3 hours, maybe 4 hours, maybe, you know, but I just want to let you know, just in case you have anywhere to go. Can you please be my model? It's going to take this long. Just let me take some pictures, you know, be patient with me. And, you know, I feel like you're hungry at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You got to take them and say, come in.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about timing like that. So, in the beginning, of course, everyone takes quite a while to do a full set. Even a half set takes a long time in the very beginning. But, what advice do you have for somebody that's at the 3 or 4 hour mark for a full set, trying to get down to 2 hours, like let's say for a classic set in the very beginning? What advice do you have for them for increasing their speed?
So I know at the very beginning, it's very important for us to concentrate, because I know that friends and family are the first ones we usually lash, right? And we're probably like talking our butts off to them, like, hey, blah, 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 and you're lashing. And that takes way so much more time, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have heard quiet appointments, you know, silent appointments, speed up your sets. And I absolutely believe it's true. So I think that if you want to get your sets down, definitely try silent appointments at first. Concentrate. Other exercises that I did get some of my students in my licensing course is we did a lot of practice on models and on mannequins. And I used to have them time themselves, like, how long does it take you to do this specific set, right? And if they were taking 3, 4, 5 hours to do that set, let's say they took 3 hours. I was like, okay, so you did this set 2 times, you know, back to back each day, and it took you 3 hours. Let's do 2.5 hours today. And so set your timer for 2.5 hours. You have to finish that set in 2.5 hours. And they're like, oh my God. But I realized that it could be done. If you put a little pressure on someone, it yep. can be done. And so timing themselves is important. I have my watch on all the time, my Apple Watch, and I do it because sometimes I do start talking to my customers when I'm doing sets myself. And I'm like, ooh, I should have been done, you know, but I'm talking too much. So that's like my cue to like, shut up, you know. But also learning tips and tricks, you know, like taking tips and tricks from other lash artists to cut that time down. A lot of people don't know taping methods, layering methods to help them lash faster, especially when they're doing fills. They can get through those so quick.
I think there's two big things that always stand out with a beginner for me that I'm seeing is the prep time, it's like that time when they're first starting out, they're not really thinking of like, this is eating away at like every single lash you can put on. And they're like working real slow, like to pump out the cleanser and to gently do this. And it's like, move, like, go.
Yes, I have been there. Because I, you know, with the licensing courses, I have to hover over a lot of their, you know, a lot of their sets. And I'm just kind of standing by watching, and I'm just like, a little faster.
Mm-hmm. When I learned that I didn't have to like go so, because I used to do this too. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm wasting time that I could be putting on like 50 lashes here for these minutes that I'm wasting. Another thing, sorry to cut you off, but.
No, you're fine.
Another thing that I was going to say is, fishing for a lash, like a lot of time I used to spend wasted just fishing with my fingers like this back and forth, just trying to find one. Or I'd like pick one that I see and I'm like, I want that one right there.
I know.
And I always say, don't get emotionally attached to a certain lash. You want to lash them all. So like the one that pops out is the one that pops out. So I think if you're somebody that's wanting to increase this, your speed a little bit, try just like poking through the lash line with one of your tweezers while it's closed and just pulling to the side. And then the very first one you see, isolate that one. Don't worry about the other one. If it's a baby lash, it's a baby lash. Get it now. Lash it now with something very small. Get it out of the way. And then it'll be easier to isolate later. I think those two things helped me so much in the beginning because I was one of those like super slow lash artists at first.
Yeah, absolutely. Prep time for sure. Let me go back to prep time. I know a lot of new lash artists that wait to prep until their customers get there. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, prep before they get there. You know what I mean? Like, you should have everything out on your cart except your lashes. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you don't know where that consult's going to go.
Yeah.
If you absolutely know 100% that's what they want, then you can prep your lashes as well. You know, but I'm like, you should have everything because that's going to add more time to your time, you know? And then, like you said, the isolation part, they want to fight that lash that doesn't want to be lashed forever, you know? And I'm like, leave that lash alone. Move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you fighting that lash? Like, you're so like wanting to lash that lash. And I'm just like, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Go to the one that speaks to you that's already isolated. You know, like, and there's some lashes that just pop out.
Yep, exactly. And I will say, like, the first person that you get that isn't on time restraint, like that can technically stay there for a very long time, try to just go lash by lash instead of skipping around and like sprinkling them throughout the lash line to make them even. Try going from the inner or the outer corner just back and forth between each eye, left, right, left, right. Yeah. And it's easier to do this and faster to do this. And you'll actually see that your time just got cut by 30 to 60 minutes. The first time I tried this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is what was taking so long.
Yes. I lash like that as well. I lash, you know, right eye, left eye, right eye, left eye, right eye, left eye, working my way in, unless I really want to just like tackle the inner corner first. But honestly, some of my students that are really taking a long time to lash someone, I do tell them to kind of spread them out because at some point, some of those customers do get fidgety and want to go. And I'm like,
when they get their first person that will just let them go forever, try this method because you'll actually see that you actually don't need that much time. You probably will finish closer to what you probably faster than what you normally do.
Exactly.
But it's the like, it's the pressure of like, oh no, what if I don't do it? And they still have to go at this time. That's why I'm saying wait until the first person that you actually can, they're like, it's fine. I'll just take a nap. That person that you're like, you could technically have 4 or 5 hours with them if you needed it. You'll probably only need 2.5 or 3.
Yes, exactly. And so I have a lot of girls that are like, oh my God, Miss Anna, I'm so nervous. Like, I'm not going to finish this on time. And what if she wants to go? And what? And I'm just like, look, take your time. You know, you still want to give her quality work. But, you know, concentrate and just kind of try to spread them out. And if for some reason she leaves with
they're even.
A set. Yeah, a set that looks even and you're not just like halfway down on the corners.
Yep. And those first few people too should be there because they not because they're expecting a full set, but because they are wanting you to learn. And so they're like true guinea pigs. And those people, you should be focusing more on just like you're getting really good attachment. Like the direction is good. The adhesive amount is good. That's it. And the speed will come with time. Once you get to a certain point where it's like, okay, like I can see that I'm getting them at least halfway full, try to bring someone in that is really chill, that will just want to lay down for several hours, and try the lash by lash method where you're not skipping around. Cause I don't recommend that for like the first person or even like the fifth person sometimes. And try it. And I promise you, you'll see what your actual speed is from that point.
Yes. I think also working eye to eye in beginners, it's really important because I have seen girls finish one eye and then they see the next one and they're like, oh my God, I still have a whole eye left. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm just like, work eye to eye.
Yep.
It's like, whatever you put on this side, you need to put on this side. I'm like, it's just going to speed up your sets. It's really going to speed up your sets. And it's going to not give you that anxiety when you're done with one eye and you realize, oh my God.
Yep. It's a mental game.
I did one eye in 2 hours.
Exactly. It's a mental game. So you don't want to place any pressure on yourself by choosing the wrong models, choosing someone that has high expectations, choosing someone that's super loud and fidgety and all of that.
I think that's where the anxiety comes in because number one, you really do have to be honest with your models. You need to let them know like, hey, I just started. I've been lashing a couple of months. It does take me 3-4 hours and not pretend that you lash pretty fast because they're going to want to be out of there. I know I've had a lot of girls tell me like, Miss Anna, I've had such a bad experience. Like my model, I was barely an hour in and she kept asking me if I was done, And I'm like, oh my God, poor thing. And I'm like, you've got to be honest with them. You got to tell, I did. And I'm just like, I know you're just going to have some models that because, you know, they don't even appreciate that it's free. You know what I mean? And they still complain. And I'm like, unfortunately, you're going to have those people, not just as models, but you're going to have some clients like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That you can't please everybody.
That is true. I highly recommend like a close friend or family member for those first like few times. Because you don't want to make a negative connotation for yourself to lashing or to doing sets, because if you keep choosing people like that, it's going to make it stressful for you. And that's what will make you feel like you don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. You're going to want to quit. I've had girls that have had bad experiences. I'm like, no. Don't let that affect you. It gets better. I swear. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is what you got to do. You know what I mean? Because people can be mean. People can be mean. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but sometimes that comes with a business. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you have to just learn how to deal with people that way. And I'm like, I never let anyone get under my skin. I never let anyone see me flustered or anxious or, you know what I mean? You just got to handle that, you know, very calmly. And I promise you things will get better.
What do you recommend for somebody? Okay, so they're learning how to lash and then the client doesn't like the style. What do you recommend they say or how do they handle that situation?
So I do this with my customers as well. When I hand them the mirror, I tell them, let me know if you want me to make any changes, you know, and if they look in the mirror and they're like, nope, everything looks good. I let them do their thing. And a lot of the times, new lash techs, the client looks in the mirror and they're like, yep, love it. But they still feel really anxious. And they're like, oh my God, I did a terrible job. Oh my God, that looks horrible. I didn't like it. And I'm like, if your customer liked it, let it go. Mm-hmm. It was fine. You know what I mean? And sometimes we beat ourselves up over it.
You could also be slightly picking up on like they actually didn't like it and they're just being nice or polite. So I see this too sometimes, like with new lash artists, it's this they're so excited about their work and they're even expressing that to the model and they're saying, you're going to love this. This is my best set I've ever done. And it's like, what is a model supposed to say back to that? they're going to tell you they don't like it. No, they're going to be like, it's perfect.
I know that's very true. So but most of the time, if they return, that kind of gets that, you know, anxiety off of you. Because I've had that feeling before when I know my quality of work and I feel like I didn't give my best that day. And so I'm anxious about whether they're, like you said, telling the truth, if they really liked it or they didn't. And then they come back and they're like, the same as last time. And I'm like,
yeah. You know,
and so like new lash artists, I feel like that anxiety is real for them. Like every single set they do, they're not sure about, even though their customers like it. Mm-hmm. But definitely when they look, you know, before handing them the mirror, like, okay, all done. Like, does everything feel okay? Do you want me to make any changes? Do you feel like, you know, it's too full or too dark? Let me know. I can make any change that you want.
Exactly.
Letting them know that you can make that change helps, because if not, they'll leave and they'll just never come back and they won't say a word to you.
Yep.
So making them feel comfortable to actually say it.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I say, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Just tell me what, you know, you want me to do and I'll do it for you. I've had clients. I had a client in particular that she wanted volume, and she said she had volume and this is what she wanted. And she even gave me the lengths and she's like, this is what I want. And I'm just like, you want volume. And, you know, I reiterate it. You want volume this length through this length. Yes. And I was like, okay. And then I gave her volume and she looked in the mirror and was like, oh no, this is too full. And the whole time she meant classic. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, but we were on the same page, you know? And so I tell a lot of new lash artists too, if in doubt, tell them to show you a picture, because sometimes that clears up the space, mm-hmm. you know, and them showing you, this is what I want, because so many lash artists are changing the meaning of light volume and volume and hybrid. I don't know how many times people have shown me pictures of a hybrid set they want and it's a volume set. And I'm just like, that's not hybrid. I'm sorry. Like, I would have given you a volume if you would have never shown me the picture that you wanted, you know? And they're just changing the meaning of those things now. And so I tell them all the time, get a picture. Tell them to show me their, I always say, show me your inspo pic. Tell me what you want. Well, I want something like this. I'm like, okay, I can get you close to that. Mm-hmm. And again, being realistic on what they want, because I'm just like, I want this. Well, that is going to look like this on you. You know what I mean? So just making sure that they understand they probably don't have the same lash line as that client. They probably don't have the same eye shape or face shape. So this is probably going to look like this. And using your imagination to kind of give them the details on how that is going to look on them and feel. Because a lot of new lash artists are like, you want what? Cat eye? Okay. And that's what they do. But they also don't look at eye shapes. They don't look at face shapes. And I tell them, take a very, you know, beginner-friendly class on eye shapes, you know, and at the very beginning, just focus on just almond and more round eyes and try to work with that at first. If you haven't been able to take more of an advanced, you know, class on eye shapes and styling, I go, because that's going to really set you apart. And so, you know, for all the new lash artists, I'm always like, you know, have them show you an inspo pic. Make sure that, you know, you repeat what they're saying. So this is what you want. Yes. Okay. This picture that you're showing me is going to look like this on you. It's not going to look the same. It's like the hairstylist. You show somebody a picture and you're like, okay, first of all, that's a wig. You know what I mean? Like, your hair is not going to look like that. And so same thing with, you know, lash extensions. Everybody wants this set, but is it going to look the same? It's not. So they need to be careful when they're saying, yes, I can do that. You know, because then when they look, they're like, this is not what I asked for. Well, it is what you asked for. It just doesn't look the same. So just tiny things like that will make a difference with their customers at the beginning.
And asking, what do you not want them to look like, is a really good question to ask.
Yes, absolutely. That is a big one. Because a lot of the times we forget to say, well, what don't you want? You know, and then you'll get that feedback that, you know, when they say, I don't want them to look too dramatic. And you're like, I was about to give you some drama, girl.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I also think just don't lead at the end, like with what you want them to feel or think about them, and just let them answer and be super neutral so that they tell you the truth. And mm-hmm. what you mentioned of like, we can make changes, even saying like, ooh, next time I think I want to try this on you if you're interested,
yes.
gets them more excited for that next visit. Because it's usually visit number two when like you'll make those tweaks that mean everything, because they've worn them for 2 weeks and they see
yes.
what they like and don't like now.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, it's a great way to just make sure that you're getting them back in and getting them excited and getting them to trust that like you're okay with the feedback
right.
and you just want to get it right. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I definitely had a client a long time ago that she wanted a cat eye. She wanted a cat eye. She wanted a cat eye. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, this specific style would look so good on her. And I would tell her like, I really think that this would look really good on you. And she'd be like, I'm so scared to try. I've always had cat eye. I'm so scared to try. And I kept telling her like, I just think that it would look so beautiful on you. Your eyes just so beautiful. Like, and she would be like, okay. And so finally she gave in and she was just like, okay, I'm going to let you do your thing. Oh my God. She was like anxious during the whole set. And then she saw and she just sticks to the doll eye now, you know, and I'm just like, thank God. Cause I love seeing it on her. Her eye shape's just so beautiful. And she has such a huge almond eye and the doll eye just, oh, it just opens it up so beautifully. And don't be afraid to make suggestions. You know, I tell a lot of the new lash techs, like that's what's going to make you a lash artist, not just a lash tech, is like you said, tweaking that lash set, because now you notice where it is a little off or where it could give you a lift or, you know, that effect that, you know, is going to look way better on your customer. Try to work with, like, for example, makeup artists, they work with makeup every day to accentuate your features, to make you look more beautiful, more powerful. Your features look more powerful. We do the same thing with lash extensions. So don't be afraid to think outside the box. And you don't have to give everybody a cat eye just because they want a cat eye. You don't have to give everybody, you know, a doll eye just because they want a doll eye. And I know a lot of new lash artists, I give everybody a doll eye because that's what they know how to do. They give everybody a cat eye because that's what they know how to do. Step outside of your comfort zone and try different mappings. I'm like, if you Google lash mappings, Jesus, you're going to get like a million lash mappings out there that you can try, you know?
Right.
And it's good to explore and try something different for your customers.
I totally agree. And I really highly recommend like a face class where you're learning about the eye shapes and everything and learning, because sometimes it's not covered in every class, but should be. But there are some out there in the industry, and I highly recommend face studies from Maven Artistry. But it's something that's so valuable with your clients, and a skill set that goes a long way. It's also taught at a lot of conferences, like how to do this shape or this technique and that. Like going to a conference, you learn so much. And we have a lot of that, like at Summit, like a lot of technique and styling and stuff too.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I know with the licensing course here in Texas, they've always had eye shape and face shape information in our books. And so we do teach it to our students. We even give them more practice on, you know, practice sheets on what would you do to this client, this client, this client, different shapes of faces, different shapes of eyes. And so we definitely teach it, but in a lot of certification courses, you're mainly focusing on one thing. So either very beginner lash artists starting on classics, or if you're more in an advanced mega volume course, you're focusing more on making those fans, you know what I mean? And right. So I know it's missed a lot and it's a separate class sometimes. But I know that in our beginner class, we definitely try to give you at least the basics, mm-hmm. you know, as you know, detailed as styling is, we try to give you at least something to work off of. And I think it's really important because, again, then you're going to give everybody a cat eye and then you're going to give everybody a doll eye. And some people walk around with really saggy cat eyes, or, you know what I mean?
That was me. I used to do that. So, I've been there.
I did that too. I gave everybody a cat eye when mm-hmm. I was younger, because that's what I thought that was in style. You know what I mean? And then when I actually started studying people's natural lash line, I realized, wow, she has a natural doll eye. You know what I mean? She has a natural wispy. Like I can just follow her pattern and give her a wispy set, you know? And so when I started studying more like the lash line, the face shape and the eye shape, you know, first I just started studying eye shape, and then I realized face shape had a lot to do with it. And even if I did the right thing on her eye shape, her face shape was so wrong for it, you know? But you'll definitely get clients that still insist on getting something that you don't recommend. And that's okay. I think that's okay. You're still pleasing your client. You can make recommendations all day long, but if they're looking for a certain look, they're looking for a certain look, you know, whether it's for, their own YouTube channels, or, you know, if they're just wanting to really just be dramatic that weekend, or, you know, whatever the case is, you're going to have those that maybe you may not agree with. I have a lot of girls that come in and they're like, I want something extra long, wispy, and mega, you know, and I usually get like 17 through 20. And I'm just like, can we drop it like 13 through 17? You know what I mean? And I still try to work with them to give them what they want, to give them the drama. But I'm like, well, at least this will bring down that weight or that, you know, sagginess or whatever the case it is. And most of the time they'll be like, oh, I don't need to get 17 through 20, you know? Mm-hmm. So it makes a difference when you make suggestions sometimes, but if, you know, it's not going to make a difference and the customer still wants it, you know, hey, show them you can do it.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all this. I feel like it was super valuable for especially people that are just starting out.
Absolutely. I think that people starting out definitely need to hear, you know, a lot of what happens in the background for us as well and what happened in our past, so that it can let them know that, hey, here we are. But we went through those things too. You're not the only one.
Mm-hmm. And you are the host of the Lash Life podcast, correct?
Yes. So the Lash Life podcast, we're actually on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple, and it's sponsored by The Lash Supply. And we're always looking for lash artists to bring onto the show, whether, you know, you're new or seasoned, we're always looking for someone. And of course, I'm also the educator for The Lash Supply as well. We are actually hosting trainings all year long. I believe our next one is in May, because we are going to be at the Lash Boss Summit in April. So we kind of had to make some space for that. And we're so excited to be at Lash Boss. We're so, so excited to be at the Lash Boss Summit.
Amazing. Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys and meet you guys in person.
I know. It's going to be so fun. I have already started telling all of my, you know, lash artist friends, you got to get a ticket. You got to get a ticket. It's going to be too late. You got to get a ticket.
No, really.
So I can't wait for all of us to be there.
Right now, there's only like 20 tickets left. So
we'll see. Yes, that's so exciting.
Okay, awesome. Well, I will see you in Austin. And thank you all so much for tuning in today. I'll be back next Tuesday with the next episode.